Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Boomer the Vape Show, giving voice to 78 million boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Each day we have a different guest and a different topic. Our guests always have a nugget or two for anyone, regardless of where you are. We hope you enjoy the relaxed conversational style of the show. Nothing fancy, just boomers sitting around the table talking about stuff. Now, here are the Boomer the Vape, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
And yes, indeed. Welcome to the Boomer the Vape Show on Blog Talk Radio. Happy New Year. It is Tuesday, January 4th, 2011, and we're broadcasting from the Boomer the Vape Enterprises studio in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be getting to our guest in just a minute, but before we do that, I also want to remind everybody to go to our website, www.boomerandthevape.com. Sign up for our free online magazine. The latest issue is going to be coming out this week, so take a little time, tour around the website, and see everything that the Boomer and the Babe Enterprises are involved in. And I'm Pete Peters.
And I'm Deborah Brown.
Today's guest is Paula Fellingham. Paula is an internationally acclaimed speaker, author, and expert. She has spoken at the UN, consulted for the World Congress of Families, and is founder of the Women's Information Network. Welcome to the Boomer and the Babe Show, Paula Fellingham.
Thank you very much. I am so delighted to be here, and Happy New Year to all our listeners.
Happy New Year indeed, and we're welcome. We're glad to have you. The Boomer and the Babe Show also has a little tradition. We give it to Deborah, and I get to sit back and listen. So have a good conversation, ladies.
Thank you, Pete.
All right, well, the first thing I like to ask for, Paula, after I welcome you to the show, which you know I do, is for your two-minute movie. And what I mean by that is your life, laser beam style, in 2 minutes, as far back as you'd like to go, talking about whatever you want to tell us about Paula Fellingham.
Well, I'll start right at the beginning. I grew up in Los Angeles, California, left a piece of my heart there. I don't live there anymore, but you know, that saying is true. You can take the girl out of California, you can never take the California out of the girl. And so I was able to have many wonderful opportunities growing up. I loved it. Growing up in Glendale, many of you know Glendale's right next to Pasadena, Burbank. And I graduated from Occidental College there in Southern California with my degree was in music. And I went on to teach high school, and then we moved around a bit, but we really raised the children up in the state of Washington, in Sequim. It spells S-E-Q-U-I-M, and those who have been to the beautiful Northwest know that it's easy to leave a piece of your heart there, too. And we were those were my Camelot years. I taught the children how to sing and dance. We turned into a performing group because I thought, I know I'm going to want a lot of children, and I'm a musician, so what do we do with this? So we became the Fellingham Family Band, performed it for 12 summers, just the summers, because the children went to school. My husband has his PhD in biostatistics, and he has always been in academia. So he was a teacher through the school year, and then in the summers, we kicked up our heels, played 10 instruments, and we're a country bluegrass band, playing banjo, mandolin, fiddles, guitar. It was just fabulous fun. I played the keyboard, my husband played the bass, and we had 6 children in between us playing instruments and having so much fun with our bluegrass. And then I started really going out into the audience and talking to the women there, especially that asked me questions about families. And my first 4 books are on strengthening families, how to do that. And we created a Creating a Successful Family parenting video. And I started speaking more and more, and then when we stopped performing in 99, that was the summer that we had performed 273 shows. That's 5 a day and 6 on the weekends. We had a theater up in Six Flags Great America in the Chicago area, Deb. And at the end of that summer, we hung it up, and we performed in Europe before we hung up the fiddles and the banjos and called it a beautiful memory of those 12 years performing. And I went on to Sirius, continuing my speaking career, because that overlapped with our performing. But I was speaking quite a bit and then speaking more and more, and wrote my 5th book, Believe It, Become It. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But that opened many doors, and I started doing some wonderful international work, and then started my own seminar company called Ignite Your Life Seminars. And in 2007, 2008, then I was able to, my husband took a sabbatical. Our seventh child was in eighth grade at that point, and I left in September, came back in June, and I had sold 4 year-long programs, and they were how to write a book in 90 days or less, how to start an online business, how to eliminate debt, and how to become a professional speaker. And so that was huge and intense, and when I came back from that experience in 2008 in June, I was absolutely exhausted and used up emotionally and physically and spiritually and mentally and on every level. And just stop. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be an easier way. There are thousands of women who are experts in their fields, whether it's fitness or aging or starting a business, growing a business, finance, parenting. How can I gather these wonderful women and allow them then to share their message from their homes with millions of women, free for them, free for me, free for the end user, and just have this opportunity to create and share this wonderful, valuable information using experts from many different countries, and that became the Women's Information Network, which brings us right up to today. Well, somewhere along the line, I was able to acquire 18 grandchildren, too. Those children grew up, and so I need to throw that in.
Yes, you do. Well, first of all, it's a happy family. We know that. Mm-hmm. Having performed all of that beautiful music, it had to be a happy family. You couldn't have done it otherwise. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that you are one of the most wonderful people to have a goal and a mission of strengthening families and women worldwide. And I know that is your entire, you know, the reason you breathe probably has that around it.
That's exactly right, beginning with my own family, but my mission is to strengthen women and families worldwide, absolutely, and it's a glorious mission, and it is not only mine. Now, we have a magnificent team with the Women's Information Network. Do you want to talk about the win?
I do. I absolutely do. And then when we finish talking about the win, I want to come back and actually delve into your book a little bit, because there are a couple of places that really speak to me, and I think it will also speak to a lot of people out there, because it's all good. So, yes, talk
Wonderful.
About the win and good. Tell people I know it to be the premier media and social network for women, and tell us when you started it. I think you mentioned that already, but go ahead and fill us in.
All right. Well, we officially launched in that summer, 2008, and I really was able to think about what is this going to become, and starting with the end in mind, if you will, connecting with some wonderful people who became the first members of our team, then we created some of the simple processes and systems that became so valuable for the Women's Information Network. And what this is, the WIN is a place where millions of women can come online and on land. I like to say online and on land better than online and offline, actually. And online, then millions of women can come and get solutions for their lives. And if you go to the website, it's thewinonline.com. The WIN, without the word online, is a gaming place, and that didn't fit us right. So it's the WIN for Women's Information Network, and then the word online.com. And there you'll see we're a place where all women of all ages, all cultures, all religions, all faiths, all women, and that's all ages also, can come to get solutions for their lives. On that very home page, it says, what do you want to do today? And you could click on, I want to lose weight. I want to strengthen my marriage. I want to be a better parent. I want to start a business. And it will take you to either an audio show or a video show that's just 10 to 15 minutes long, on 38 different channels, and those are all topic-driven. So 38 different topics. You could choose what you want to learn, and then you're taken right to the experts who they have their own what we call show pages that tell about their show. And these are 10 to 15-minute shows that women who are experts contribute 4 times a month. So it's weekly. And the gift solutions part is so critical because women are looking for solutions in their lives, and we give it to them in bite-sized pieces. And also I need to mention, if you are ready to read articles, we offer those too, hundreds of articles written by experts. So the gift solutions part is all about the content. The second way that we strengthen women is through our the ability to share their ideas. And on our very homepage it says, it's a Women Helping Women hotspot. You can ask a question and get that question answered in about 24 hours. And so we have that. We have our blog. We have ways that women can share their ideas with one another and create these beautiful relationships with one another. And the third part, so it's get solutions, share ideas, and the third part is really connect. And how do you really connect? You connect heart to heart when someone's in the same room with you. It's our on land events, and we've put on 20 in 2010. We put on 20 events, wonderful, beautiful girls' night out events, our international convention event, our many, many opportunities for women to connect, really connect heart to heart and share their ideas. The experts speak and women listen, women get involved, they share their thoughts and their hearts with one another, and that third piece is so critical, which leads us to the largest gathering of women in the history of the world for International Women's Day. Now, this is upcoming March 8, 2011. The Women's Information Network is hosting the largest gathering of women for International Women's Day in the history of the world. We will be in 10 cities in the United States, in the largest 10, and then we'll be in, actually not, it's not exactly the largest 10. It's, let me tell you what they are. They're New York, Boston, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Miami, Chicago, Denver, Houston, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. So 10 cities on the same day, International Women's Day, 100th anniversary, March 8, 2011. And I'd love the listeners to go to this URL. Are you ready? InternationalWomen'sDay.org. Not com, .org. So that's plural, InternationalWomen'sDay.org. And you'll get all the details. You'll be able to read about the locations, because in addition to the 10 cities, we are helping women in 175 other countries. So 176 countries total, helping women host live events in their countries to celebrate the women in their countries on this special day, International Women's Day. So it's magnificent, it's huge, and then what we're also doing is following up with global women's summits the following summer. And I don't want to lose anybody here. It's like a lot to swallow in one earful, if you will. But
well, let's start back at the on land events.
Okay.
Because I met you at a girls' night out in Phoenix. That's the first time I ever shook your hand, and I want people to know that as sparkly as you sound, you are in person more so. I just think you are one of the most sparkly, wonderful human beings, and I just love you to death. And I really appreciate that you decided to go on land, as you call it, and I've never heard it done that way. We've always said offline and online, but it's on land. And it was a very fine event. There must have been 120 to 150 women there, very excited. And I know that certainly launched a lot of interest in what the WIN is doing in the Phoenix market. And, of course, I have been doing things with you and around you since then. I've also been to the big event in Los Angeles, which was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I got to hear Les Brown and, oh, my goodness,
Lisa Nichols.
Oh,
wonderful.
Yeah, Lisa
wonderful
Nichols told
people.
Us. Oh, yes, they just told wonderful, empowering, inspirational stories. And that's really what all of what you're talking about, the content that we provide, the sharing ideas. And I love the idea that the hotspot questions will be answered in 24 hours, because sometimes – you know, you go online and you think, wow, you know, this is cold or this is just static. But it's not static. It is a live, you know, living thing, really, that you have created.
Well, thank you. And I always have to defer to my team, because I absolutely couldn't do this alone. But thank you very much, and I love you too. Your listeners are so blessed to be able to hear from you regularly, Deborah, but this is a magnificent human being, my friends. Deborah Brown is an example of everything that is the Women's Information Network culture, filled with what I call others-centered thinking. You're thinking of others before you think of yourself. And of course, I need to qualify that, because sometimes I also teach women that you need to fill your cup because you can give love better from your overflow. So I don't want them to totally think that I just preach about being, thinking of others totally, but really this unselfish behavior and way of thinking is one of the things that really it draws people to the wind, because we truly, truly, and Deborah is a perfect example of this, care about the happiness, the joy level, if you will, of the women of the world and their families. So,
well, thank you very much, and I appreciate that, and I do try to live into that, and sometimes I get whelmed, if you will, and I think I've heard you speak on how you compartmentalize, and I think that that's a very helpful conversation to have right now, especially at the beginning of the year, when sometimes things are, you're thinking about, okay, how am I going to get my to-do list from last year done so I can start fresh, and how am I going to do all the things I need to do for me and my family? And I know that you've got this concept of compartmentalizing. Tell me about that.
Well, it's magical when you realize that there are so many obligations that we all have. We all have responsibilities in many different areas, with our families and with our work and with our friends and with many with our church responsibilities, and it can become overwhelming if you allow it to be. But if you will think, when I'm with my family, I'm going to be 100% with them. I am not going to be thinking about my work or anything else. I'm with that family with my whole heart. And then when you're with at your work, you're not worrying about what happens at home, because you can't do anything about it then anyway. So why not just focus 100% on what you're doing at work? When you're with your friends, don't worry about what's happening at home or at work. Just enjoy being with your friends. And this is one of the ways that you can avoid the stress that people talk to me about. I'm so stressed. And I almost feel like, that this is a secret that if they knew, they wouldn't have that level of stress, because you really are, the word is perfect, compartmentalizing your life and just doing one thing right at a time, even though I talk about multitasking. But you know what I'm talking about, that we're just focusing on one thing and doing that 100% with your whole heart, and then not worrying about all the other pieces at the same time. That's bound to make anybody sick. So,
well, exactly. And I think that, and what I realize is, what it sounds like really is a stress and guilt depressor and a way to get the joy absolutely outlandish. Just
absolutely.
Boom.
You're joyful every minute, because you're just concerned and focusing on one thing, and you give it your whole heart, and then you move to the next thing. You just don't get yourself bogged down emotionally with a number of things at the same time. That it's very avoidable to, I say worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And that's just so true. And you can worry all you want, but what good does it do you?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, let's go into your book, Believe It, Become It, because that will kind of a nice segue, because you have some other things that you certainly line out for people. And I like to think of this book as not only your philosophy, but also this blueprint that you provided for accomplishing your goals and your aspirations and so forth, but also, as the subtitle says, how to hurdle barriers and excel like never before. And I would say that at this time of year, when you're starting a brand new year, and frankly, this time in history, which is so rich with everything that is, there's just so many things out there that that we can choose from and choose the best for ourselves, but sometimes we get bogged down. So what caused you to write this book, besides the fact that you had been performing for 12 summers and you said, gee, I think I need to rest? This book is not a rest, by the way. This book is full of scientific references and wonderful quotes. I mean, this is a masterpiece. So
well,
tell me
thank
why
you, very
you wrote
much.
The book.
The reason for the scientific references, since you mentioned that, is I'm married to a biostatistician, and everything that I teach, it is important that we not just be out there. When we're in a position of being a mentor and an expert for others, it behooves us to make sure that the things we're teaching are based on science, if at all possible, and there are studies in so many different areas relative to human behavior and human relations, and that it really, I think, as an author, that it needs to be based, the things that we teach need to be based on some science, and all of my books are. But I wrote it because I had mentioned that my first four books were parenting books. Well, I realized that the reason that so many parents misbehave, if you will, is because there's something that's hurting in them, that perhaps a mother has a problem with anger, not because of the child, but because some unresolved issues in her life. And so I thought, how can I help these wonderful parents? And it started with that question. How can I help these wonderful people be better parents by helping them understand how to create positive change in their lives? Because simply, it's a matter of starting with your thoughts, because every word and every action begins with a thought. And if you don't direct your thoughts in positive ways, then you allow yourself to be pulled backwards into the damaging beliefs of the past and all sorts of areas that you don't want to go, but subconsciously, you allow yourself to go there if you don't know how to control your thoughts and create this positive change on whatever level you want to create positive change on. And so I thought, I need to really start researching this. And I did. And about 100 books later that I had read myself and really becoming a student of, and that's what my doctorate is in. I have a doctorate of education in human relations. Then I wrote Believe It, Become It, and science, and it's, but I created it so that it would be, I wrote it so it would be very simple reading. It's a plane ride read, and it's written for, you know, that anyone, even with a low level of education, could read it easily and understand, and filled with stories and ways we can apply the principles into our lives.
Well, there's many, many things in here that I have taken into my own, you know, thought processes, as you will. But one of them is I replay my wins. That is a concept in one of your pillar principles. Replay my wins. Tell us about that. That was a good one.
Well, when you don't have to think about anything, when you're in the shower, when you're driving along, when you don't have to think about, what do you think about? You need to flick back, rerun in your mind, if you will, the things that you've done well. And, you know, this is an indication of your strength of character. Where do you allow your mind to go on a regular basis? Do you congratulate yourself for the good things that you're doing in your life, the positive reinforcement mentally to yourself, or are you constantly beating yourself up for what's not working? And, you know, sadly, you could receive 10 compliments and one criticism. And what is mostly women, I point fingers at us because we're the best at replaying the worst at us, you know. What do we replay in our minds? We replay that one criticism rather than the compliments. And I just like to suggest that if you truly have as a goal to be a joyful person, and to radiate that joy to others, flick back on your wins every chance you get.
You know what's really interesting about that is every now and then I will have something that has occurred. Somebody will annoy me, which that's very possible. And, you know, or hurt my feelings or whatever. Mm-hmm. And from the time that happens until a couple of days hence, I really don't remember it anymore because frankly, I've got so much going on that suits my fancy, if you will. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, I've got things that are happening that are pretty cool. I can't even, if I remember that it was on a given day, I can't even remember how I felt about it anymore.
See,
and I don't know if
that's
because I'm replaying my whims.
Well, part of that is filling your life with fulfilling, meaningful activities. And so many people don't choose to do that. And they wait for life. They react to life instead of being, you know, proactive, if you will. Thanks to Stephen Covey, we have that in our language. But truly, to be able to look for things that sing to your heart. And then go do them. And what's better, if you can look for things that sing to your heart and do them and monetize that, then then that works really well. But don't just react to life. If you're unhappy with your job, with your relationships, with your whatever it is in your life, this is a choice whether or not to fix it or whether or not to just go around kind of grumpy most of the time. Choices.
The other thing is when you're talking about women and learning to congratulate ourselves. Some people feel that that would be an immodest kind of approach to life, and we need to really maybe reframe some of our thought processes and say, no, that is, you know, when you congratulate yourself, when you rack up your own wins and you celebrate yourself, that is not there's only positive to come from that.
Yes, anything that strengthens you will strengthen those around you. You want the people in your life, and especially your mentors, to be strong people who are confident enough to say, you know what, this is my weakness. I don't do this very well, and I need to learn to be better in this area. But I'm really an expert in this and this and this, these three areas, and that's okay. You know, we fully admit where we need improvement, but then at the same time, we're not afraid of saying, you know what, I am an expert. I can unequivocally say that I'm a parenting expert. Absolutely, I am. And it's all right for me to be confident in that area. And, you know, there's, and we all know the difference between bragging and conceited, you know, exaggerations or just talking about ourselves too much, and the confidence that allows us to be leaders and to be mentors for others. Because at the end of the day, you're only going to be as effective of a leader as you are, you know, able to do that. And how can you be qualified to be a strong leader if you don't have confidence and you aren't able to just stand with your shoulders squared and your chin up and say, I can help you with that because I've learned this in the past and I'm an expert. You know, we want that. It's all right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, now you have got this fantastic event that you are putting on in 176 countries, one of them being the United States, and 10 different large venues.
Yes.
And I would say that given that that is March 8th, and there's still a lot to do, as anyone would expect at this point in the game plan, I would imagine that the concept in your book called Create Positive Crisis probably occurs to you. Why don't you tell us about creating positive crisis?
I would love to do that. Creating positive crisis is, you know, very rarely do you ever hear those two words together, crisis and positive. But if you think about it, when you are in education, you take tests and you set yourself up, you know, that's a positive crisis. You actually, you know, put yourself in a position where you are forced to reach a goal. And this is a good thing. A positive crisis in my mind, think about this. If you were a young woman who just had or an older woman, any woman, who had a real challenge, a problem with keeping things clean in your home. You just weren't very good at organization, and things were messy most of the time. And this is really, you started feeling it and it dragged on you. Well, you could say to a friend in creating your own positive crisis, I want you to come in 2 weeks. You could come to my home and you can open any drawer, you could look in any closet, and all you would see is cleanliness, organization. Well, what are you going to do in those 2 weeks? You're going to get
Move.
The house all clean. And you know, I had a friend come to me and say, you know what, I'm going to give you $500, and if I lose my, then you give that back to me. And it was in like a six-month period of time. So it was, you know, a healthy, good amount of time. In 6 months, lose the 30 pounds, then I get my $500 back. But if I don't, do you keep the $500? Well, that's a positive crisis. She's created for herself a way for her to be motivated financially, because that's what motivated her. And, partly just peer pressure them because she's put it out there. And she's going to lose the pounds, I would suggest, more effectively than she would if she didn't create that. I have to tell a story on my son. My oldest son is a Special Forces Green Beret medic, and he's magnificent. He's one of my heroes. Served in Afghanistan and in Baghdad and 82 combat missions, earned a Bronze Star, just a wonderful young man. When he first joined the military, he was a little fearful of jumping out of perfectly good airplanes, and he had to do this on a regular basis. So what he did is he joined a skydiving club off base, and he'd go and jump to have that. He created for himself a positive crisis where he put down his hard-earned money to go join this and to then go and have all these opportunities to jump, so that then when he had to do it for the Army, then he was able to do it without fear. And that's a positive crisis, something that you set up for yourself that gives you increased motivation to achieve your worthy goals, good goals.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's,
going back
that's
to
a great
yeah,
idea
back
for
to,
Happy New Year. Yes.
Yeah,
for our
exactly.
New Year. How to make
exactly.
it, how to actually reach your goals. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's refer then back to the worthy goal for International Women's Day is to, one of the things is to enlighten women's minds and empower women's hearts for a better world. And, of course, women throughout history have just been a driving force, obviously, whether it be a village where the women are the ones that bring the water from the well, whether it be women who have invented things through time. And I know that on internationalwomensday.org, which is your website, people can actually go to the blog area and start to see a very comprehensive list of women in history that have done the most amazing things. They are short articles. Things that I did not realize that people have done, and that was women who did it.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you finding
yeah, it's
that
a, it's a wonderful resource, and you know it behooves us, I believe, to every once in a while pause and look at the people upon whose shoulders we stand, because certainly, you know, women through the suffrage movement and women through all the different women in history who have sacrificed so that we can really not have much of a glass ceiling anymore, you know, and we have certainly popped through that glass ceiling on many levels and enjoy so many rights now that women in the past didn't. And I think that an opportunity like International Women's Day to pause and reflect on them and to celebrate and honor them is needful for us to really, especially for our young women, to be able to say, you need to know about the Harriet Tubmans of the world. You need to know about Eleanor Roosevelt. Look what these women did for you. And that's actually what the play is, that with a dramatic presentation that we're going to be watching in Los Angeles and live streamed to all the 10 venues on March 8th. It's called We Did It For You, and it's a beautiful musical. I'd love to encourage the listeners to go to internationalwomensday.org and click on locations. Find an event near you. The tickets are only $35 for an entire day. I mean, where do you get that kind of value nowadays? And really participate with us.
And going back to the idea of the other countries and the celebrations that they're going to put on, I know that some of them will be larger, but
right.
I think one of the things that I imagine, matter of fact, I woke up imagining it, and I imagined it, and I'll tell you, well, let me say this first, and then I'll explain what I mean.
Okay.
I actually see women sitting under what I call the wisdom tree, wherever their wisdom tree is in their particular community, and having a celebration where they're sharing some food, a little music, which a lot of times is going to be the women singing, which is wonderful, and then sharing ideas and, you know, helping each other, strengthen each other, and so forth. And I actually was thinking about what trees are indigenous to which parts of what countries. And I actually had people under willow trees in my mind, and I had, you know, oak trees and big banyan trees. And I thought, now that's just the coolest thing.
Yeah, that's so cool.
I love that.
I love that. I had not thought of that, not even once. So good for you. Yeah, these women will be in some countries, as you well know, some of our African nations especially. These are women who are going to be having a whole different experience than those of us in Los Angeles or New York. But that's, you know, how beautiful to have a variety of experiences on International Women's Day. To, you know, these women will be honoring the women in their country. They won't be honoring the Eleanor Roosevelts. That's the U.S., but there are Eleanor Roosevelts in every country, if you will, for them to honor. And it'll look very different, but it'll be beautiful. Most of these 175 additional countries will have smaller events. They won't be huge events. And that's all right. That's perfectly all right.
It is. And the other thing that we need to make sure that people realize is that this is the 100th anniversary. It's not just... you know, International Women's Day. This is the 100th anniversary, which in our lifetime, this is a pretty big deal.
Only going to happen once. That's right.
Exactly.
Right. It is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
And we haven't mentioned, I don't think we've mentioned that this International Women's Day is a national holiday in 32 countries. Not the United States, but in 32 other countries. It's a national holiday. The kids get out of school, and, you know, people get off work, and they really celebrate. Yeah.
I know. And I want to say one more thing about the women in our past and the fact that we're standing on their shoulders. And it's Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony, who worked for 50 years with other women in their community, 50 years to help women get the vote in America. And neither one of them lived long enough to actually be able to vote, but they worked for 50 years on our behalf. And I just think that people need to know those kinds of things, and that's why I love that the website is set up that way. I just love it.
Yeah,
so,
thank you.
You know, we are potentially, some of us, are the women 100 years from now that someone will say, Paula Fellingham is the woman that put on the largest gathering connecting women in the world, you know, in 2011, this huge, massive, wonderful event for women celebrating the 100th anniversary of International Women's Day. So I honor you. I know that that's going to be that.
I appreciate that, but this is such a start for us because our global women's events, so let's talk about global women's summits. Let's talk about that, Deb. We really have the opportunity now to go out and it's not just a single day, but it's a wonderful opportunity for women in these countries to gather together and talk about ways that they want to improve their roles and strengthen their roles and be able, we have the opportunity to take the voice of the women in all these countries actually to decision makers in their countries, at the United Nations, at different forums where we can say, listen to the women in Angola, listen to the voice of the women in Malaysia, in the Philippines, in Japan, and China, because we are going there to specifically dialogue with them on some very important points, and they'll be the same points for all the countries, and then share the hearts of the women in those different countries with the decision makers, with the lawmakers, with the treaty makers, the people who are in a position of authority to be able to really make a difference in the lives of these women long past our Global Women's Summits. And we're working actually with Ambassador Mokhtar Lamani and other world leaders in our putting on these Global Women's Summits that will be presented starting this summer.
And the great thing about them, you hit on it a couple of minutes ago, is that it's the issues that are important to the women in their own country, not
sure.
that we're taking our things to them, but they have their own way of looking at things, and they know
yeah.
what's important, like, you know, clean water, of course, and, you know, food for the families and literacy and a way to make their way in the world and all of that stuff that's totally different in each community. And they are the ones that know what that is. And it's so wonderful to dialogue and let what we know and how we've done things kind of spark some various ideas and mm-hmm. new ways of looking at things if they want them. I think it's great.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's magnificent because it's the grassroots that, you know, the hearing the voices of the women and then being in a position to do something about their opinions and their voices, to translate that into the Mo Tarlamani said to me, Paula, how are the women going to be different a year after your Global Women's Summits? How are they going to be different? You've got to figure out a way to help them long term. And this is one of the ways. So we couldn't be more excited about it. And any listener who wants to be involved, all they need to do is just email info@thewinonline.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at the WIN, W-I-N, for Women's Information Network, thewinonline.com.
And they can also email that same address for information about getting your book.
Yeah,
Believe It.
Absolutely. Believe it, become it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you, I think this has been fantastic. Do you have any other parting comments that you would like to make other than please just go to – well, actually, I can tell people one thing they can do, and that is go
to – yes, you could do that, and then I'm going to leave them with a couple of quotes.
Absolutely. Okay. What I want people to know to do is to go to internationalwomensday.org and be counted. There is a place on there for just be counted. Don't have to do anything fancy. Just it's to be counted so that we can have as many people involved in this special day as possible. There is a place on the website also with icons for Facebook and Twitter. And you can like things and friend things and all the wonderful things that we can do in social media. And I would love for people to engage with that icon there and also on thewinonline.com and start to actually see all the wonderful things that are going on there. So, my friend Paula, why don't you give us your closing quotes? And then we
all
will
right.
let Pete sign us out. But this has been fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much. I've loved being with you, Deborah. Loved it. All right, the first one is by George Bernard Shaw. And it goes like this. This is the true joy in life, being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one, being a true force of nature instead of a feverish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die, for the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle to me. It's a sort of splendid torch, which I've got to hold up for the moment. And I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations. Close quote. And the second quote is actually my favorite quote. In addition to the scriptures, I love this. It's by my dear hero, Mother Teresa. She said, "Spread love wherever you go. First of all, in your own home. Give love to your husband, your wife, your children, your next-door neighbor. Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face. Kindness in your smile, kindness in your warm greeting." Close quote. And with that, I send your listeners my love and my hope that they'll come and participate with us. And thank you so much for this opportunity.
Well, thank you so much. Pete, let's sign us out. You've been wonderful, Paula. It has been a great
thank you.
5 minutes. You know we could be on for another 45.
Yes.
We have work to do, my friend.
Yes, we do.
Okay, Paula, thanks again for being with us. You've always, whenever I've heard you, given people interesting thoughts and things to think about. So you've been listening to the Boomer and the Babe Show on Blog Talk Radio in Phoenix, Arizona, where we bring you good conversation and good information and to the world. And today we brought you that information and conversation with Paula Fellingham, founder of The WIN, Women's Information Network. And you can listen to the Boomer and the Babe Show on Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, we do much more than just host this radio show. We also publish ebooks, publish a free online magazine. We're doing mini books now as well. So go to theboomerandthebabe.com, see everything that makes up the Boomer and the Babe Enterprises. Be sure to make your second half of life the best half of your life, and we'll see you at the next show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
You've been listening to the Boom and the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversation to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as Pete Peters 47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerandthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.